to Jay Sekulow. Will the Senate fail to reach a deal on DACA and border security?
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
There's a widespread desire in this chamber to find a resolution for the illegal immigrants who were brought to this country as children. Widespread agreement on that. But common sense dictates that we cannot simply treat one symptom of our broken immigration policy in complete isolation. We must address the underlying problems as well. That means fixing broken parts of our legal immigration system.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
We must also ensure the safety of the American people. That's why a DACA resolution should be paired with new security measures at our borders and common sense steps to improve security inside our borders.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Well, the Senate is meeting, and the issue that they are meeting over is deferred action for childhood arrivals, the DACA program. Let me give you an update on a couple things. A federal judge, this is the second federal judge, has temporarily blocked the Trump administration from ending the DACA program. Now, the DACA program has been put in place through executive orders. By the way, as you know, and I'm very clear on this, I like that DACA could become permanent as far as legislation goes, so that you take the 1.8 million people that came here as children, they're adults now, get them into the system. Pathway to citizenship may take a dozen years, like it took my grandfather, become taxpaying citizens. You're not going to deport people back that came here through no fault of their own. But the issue is, and I've been very, so I'm, and also, I, of course, I've told you I'm in favor of comprehensive immigration reform, and we'll talk about that as well. But I want border security. It's got to be part of the same package. But as it relates to DACA, I have testified on Capitol Hill that I'm very concerned about executive orders, whether it was from President Obama or any other president, including President Trump, that these executive orders don't have a fundamental constitutional basis on which they're operating, and that's why there needed to be a legislative fix to this. I actually said this at a hearing, and this hearing was, I think, about it 2 years ago, maybe. Here's what I said.
I don't see an underlying, this is my view, I don't see an underlying statutory base. You can be sympathetic with what they were trying to do, as I am with the president. But that doesn't mean there's a constitutional base on which to do it.
So that has been the point. I want to be clear on that. So I am sympathetic to resolving the DACA conflict, getting the border security for the southern border. But I don't see it being done by executive order, and I think these courts, by the way, will be overturned. But besides that, this is not the fix necessary to move this issue forward. Jordan, I want to get Jordan and Than's comments.
No, I think that, listen, one, the president's been very clear. The reason why the headline for Facebook and Periscope today is DACA dead is because the president has said in a tweet yesterday, negotiations on DACA have begun. Republicans want to make a deal, and Democrats say they want to make a deal. Wouldn't it be great if we could finally, after so many years, solve the DACA puzzle? But listen, folks, this is clear. This will be our last chance. That is the president with a shot across the bow to Congress saying, I'm not going to keep going back to this and back to this and back to this. It's kind of like with Obamacare for the past year. Okay, it's going to take us another year until we get back to it again. This will be our last chance. There'll never be another opportunity March 5th. Because honestly, if you are a DACA recipient, let me just give you a little advice. Don't rely on a district court opinion that could be overturned by the Supreme Court
in a nanosecond.
Right. I mean, that could go straight up because it involves presidential power. It could bypass the circuit courts. I think the Department of Justice is appealing that way directly. So you've got a situation here where Congress says they want to fix this. In return, President Trump can get the wall that so many people voted for him to get the wall. Okay, so I think it's a totally fair compromise. You've got the other kickers in there, like the lottery program, like chain migration. I think great if you can get those in there, the removal of visa lottery and the stopping of chain migration. But if you just got DACA plus wall, I think that's a victory for conservatives. It's why Democrats are not yet ready. You think they'd be rushing to sign DACA.
They don't want to do
it. They actually don't want to. They'd rather people be in limbo.
All right, let me tell you this. We want your opinion on all this. We want to hear from our constituents. Our phone lines are open for you. Logan's going to let you know how you can talk to us. We want to hear from you on this issue of DACA and border security. Logan, let everybody know how they can engage.
That's right. You can give us a call right now, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. You can also join us online. That's at ACLJ.org. Get your comments, though, on our live social media feeds. Facebook Live, Facebook.com/JaySekulow, Periscope and Twitter at JaySekulow.
Jay It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
And actually, I think this is, we were talking about this during our break, yep. And welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. To those who watch on Facebook and Periscope, which is that, I mean, I wonder if we could poll the DACA recipients. If they knew that they would be legalized under legislation signed by the president, so no more DACA deferred action stuff, but
no
actual
executive
process.
Order. Right, actual okay. Legislation signed into
would
law.
Would they have any issue? Don't even go to support. Do they have any issue with that being tied to building a border wall? I suspect they don't, because they want to make sure that they are here legally and they're not going to be separated from their families. They want to be able to work and stay. They don't want to be sent back to a country they don't even know. But the Democrats are looking at it as purely political. So I think the Republicans, they're offering something that's very serious. It goes through all these steps. There are places for Democrats to negotiate within.
Yep.
I think chain migration is one. I think the visa lottery is one, because those are kind of the sub-elements to the two big things, DACA and the $25 billion to the wall and enhanced border security. So, but this is the issue then. As Than said, they wouldn't even start debate on this. Do they know, Than? I mean,
that's what I was going to ask.
I tend to believe that if President Trump signs this legislation that they backed, one, the issue of building a wall, they can't make fun of him anymore for or mock him for. But two, he is the president that legalized the DACA kids.
Jordan, it's all about credit. I mean, I literally believe that that is the single reason the debate on this bill did not start yesterday, why they wasted the entire day. Because remember, you think back just a few weeks, Democrats shut down the government because they were insisting on a debate in the United States Senate. Leader McConnell and President Trump gave them that debate. And again, just procedurally, so people understand where we are here, I'm not making this up. On Monday night, 97 U.S. senators voted to open this debate. When that happens, Jay and Jordan, Typically what will happen is unanimous consent and the debate will begin. But if there's any objection, you can have 30 hours of debate before you begin debate. The Democrats, Jay, insisted on that. Leader McConnell came down and tried to start debate three times yesterday. Every time a senator, usually Chuck Schumer or Dick Durbin, opposed to even beginning that debate.
Here's the thing, though, I think we have to be clear, because I know a lot of people are conflicted on this. I'm not. I think that we have to be, I'm a practical realist on this. Look, I think we need comprehensive immigration reform, and that's been the consistent position of the American Center for Law and Justice for over a decade, because you're not going to self-deport, as one previous presidential candidate said. 12 million people are not going to self-deport, or close to 18 million people. That's number one. Number two, there is, why would you, at this point, why are you going to send back to a country that these young people that are young adults now don't even know that country, may not even speak that language? Why are you going to send 1.8 million people back? And politically, wouldn't you rather have them in the tax rolls? And it's not amnesty. We're not saying, come in, we're going to give you a card and you go vote. It took my grandfather 14 years. Logan knows it firsthand. Logan and his wife found my grandfather's papers. It was, I think it was a 14-year period.
14 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have the paperwork. I don't know, at firsthand, it was not there. Was
yeah. No, you were not.
But no, we do have the design and the original paper scanned in.
And it was 14 years to get naturalized after the orders. So I think, why would we not work on this and try to be the ones that solve the problem? And I think if there's ever, this is the irony of all this, and I think this is what the left doesn't like. If there's a way to fix the immigration issue, they don't want it coming under President Trump. Yep. I mean, that's what it is. Look, I tried to do it under President Bush. I worked on immigration reform. President Obama didn't even bring it up. Never raised the issue in a serious legislative debate when he had control of the House and the Senate. This president is willing to put it on the table. And I think now the Senate debate's happening. So that's my view. But we look, this part of today is to let you know, I do have some big news I'm going to share just for a moment. We got two responses from the European Union and from Great Britain on our concern over what's going on in the Middle East with genocide. Shockingly great responses. We're going to cover those on tomorrow's broadcast, but I just wanted to let you know that. And let's go ahead, Logan, and take some calls and comments. I know a lot of comments are coming in.
Yeah, let's go to Danielle calling California on line one. Danielle, welcome.
Hi, Danielle.
Hi there.
Hey.
I just want to thank you for everything you do. I completely support you. And I also support our president. I'm a first-generation American. My mother migrated here from Guatemala. And I have cousins who have attempted to come here illegally, and my mom would always, you know, talk to them about, you know, doing it the right way. And you know that you can do it the right way and come here within a few months and be legal. And these people, you know, they deserve, you know, if they've been here their whole life, I say let them stay, give them a social security number, and contribute to our country. And that's how I feel about it.
No, I appreciate you calling. And look, Danielle, I'm the second generation in the United, born in the United States, and my family too, so I get it. But what's interesting is I want to play Chuck Schumer's statement. We haven't played that yet, have we? This is important because DACA is to them a political issue, and if it is off the table, this concerns those left of center politically. I think they probably would pass 100-0 if they could just really vote their conscience and get this and understand the art of politics. You give and you take. Border security, DACA, I think you'd get 100 votes. But listen to what Senator Schumer said on the Senate floor yesterday or today.
It was President Trump who terminated the DACA program last August. Not Democrats or not Republicans here. Unilaterally, we are in this pickle. In this worse than pickle, in this bad situation, because President Trump chose to end the DACA program last August. That stands out above anything else.
Oh, no. Congress has to act, Chuck Schumer? You mean you've got to legislate, not
instead
just rely
on
executive orders and deferred action? And really all this one was deferred prosecutions that are constitutionally questionable. A couple of courts say they don't even know. What the court in this latest opinion halting the DACA revocations that would begin on March 5th has said that it's not clear if it's constitutional or unconstitutional. So the judges who are putting halts to DACA removal are not coming out and saying this is totally constitutional what President Obama did, so you can't get rid of it. By the way, even if it was constitutional what he did, the next president can get rid of executive actions from the former president. So this president, though, has said, I don't want to renew this because I don't believe that this was constitutional in the first place. So I'm not going to keep this going. And Congress, you are always supposed to be in a pickle in a sense because you were supposed to be legislating for the American people.
Yep.
And I think this was the Democrats, what they dread the most. It's not Republicans. The Democrats dread this. And if they can't get this done, I wonder how many ads you could run against Democrats in the next election cycle saying, you know, in targeted races, this person is voted no against DACA. This person, so I mean, how are they going to survive that?
Well, that's what I was going to ask Stan. So let's look at the practical political reality here. Let's assume that the Senate on the table is DACA and $25 billion for wall security, which, by the way, is in our budget, overall budget is a non-factor. But it would really enhance our security on the southern border. What do you think is going to happen? I mean, I like to give our audience, and we want to hear from you on this, folks, again, 800-684-3110, but our folks need to know what is going to happen here.
Well, that proposal really will be on the Senate floor. It's authored by Senator Chuck Grassley, co-authored by six other people, including, by the way, Tom Cotton, who represents the right fringe of this debate. So the fact that those two senators are on it, including Senator Lankford, means that it is probably the legislation with the best chance to get to 60, Jay. But not a single Democrat has come out in favor of it. So it is far short of 60 at this point. Now, I will say this, and I would talk to both Republicans and Democrats on this. A wall without a DACA solution is never going to get 60 votes in the United States Senate. Republicans need to hear that. A wall without a DACA solution will never get 60 votes in the United States Senate. And to do the Democrats in this debate, a DACA legalization is never going to happen without true border security. It will never get 60 votes in the United States Senate. So it is really an all or nothing proposal at this point. And right now, Jay, any senator, any single senator can go to the floor and offer their proposal. And if they can get 60 votes, it would be sent over to the House.
I'd keep this March 5th pressure date right where it is.
Yeah.
I mean, no, I mean, they could still do non-deporting. I mean, they could administratively determine.
Well,
he can
make this a legislative deadline. This should be a legislative deadline.
Look, folks, I've been saying this for years. This has got to be fixed legislatively. These executive orders are suspect constitutionally. And why not fix it? Get the border security. Get the DACA recipients on a pathway to citizenship. It may take them a decade. That's fine. I don't think anybody's going to argue that that's not the appropriate way it should be handled. But let's get them in the system, and then let's work on a comprehensive immigration reform that also includes other security issues for our country. So I think there's a lot that could, if we get through this one, I think you could see some tremendous progress. But the political realities of this are very, very intense, I would say. But we do have some people, I noticed, Logan, some people are on Facebook and Twitter, I'm seeing those comments, we're of course getting a radio audience, are very supportive. They said, let's get this done, let's move it. But there are others that are saying, ship them back. Yeah. And that is just not reality. I mean, it's just not, I'm not trying to upset you, I'm trying to give you political reality. I don't think it's a good policy move either, by the way. But it's not reality. That is not going to happen. So let's, it's the art of compromise is the art of politics, and I think this is a fair compromise. What are we seeing online?
Yeah, I'd say it is certainly mixed. There's a lot of comments coming in. You know, will it go to the Supreme Court? A lot of people are asking that, and a lot of people are asking what the legislative process would be.
Well, I mean, I'll tell you what would happen to the Supreme Court of the United States on these executive orders. I think they'd all be struck as unconstitutional with no statutory basis in which you could exercise the executive order in the first place. So I think that these executive orders are, I mean, we challenged them because we think they're unconstitutional. I also challenge them because I want a permanent legislative fix. That's the way the Constitution is set up. And that's what should happen here. Nevertheless, we have to move forward with the political reality of what we have. And I think the DACA wall bill, as introduced, should be the way we move forward. We're going to take your calls and comments when we come back from the break.
That's right. 1-800-684-3110. There's also a Twitter poll right now. So Twitter, at Jay Sekulow, twitter.com/Jay Sekulow. It's the Senate is finally meeting. Do you think DACA will become permanent legislation? And you can vote yes or no. So you can do that
Are
right now.
Are people doing it?
Yes, 420 people have voted so far. We just put it up.
Well, let's see if we can get 1,000 people to vote. So let's do what Logan said.
All right. We'll be right back with more on Jay Sekulow Live. But again, 1-800-684-3110 to have your voice heard.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad. standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. DACA and border security are the issues that up. Joining us right now is our director of policy, Professor Harry Hutchison. And we've been talking about this. I want to make our position clear. I think it's important for people to understand where we are in this. I have been a proponent for comprehensive immigration reform for a long time. And it's because you're not going to deport 12 or 18 million people, whatever the number is. You're not going to self-deport. So that's not reality. And you're to penalize the DACA young adults now, and that's what they are, is also not going to happen. So why not get them into society? They've got to be, you know, you run the appropriate checks, you make sure that they meet the qualifications, and ultimately a pathway to citizenship, and that pathway may be 12 years. I mean, it was for my grandfather, 14 to be exact. But let's get that done. And at the same time, let's get the border security in place that we need on so many fronts, not just illegal immigration, drug flow, human trafficking. We've talked about those issues, and this would help on that. But there's a political side of this. But I want Professor Hutchison to comment on this. We talked about this during our break on Facebook and Twitter, Periscope, but I think it's important for our radio audience here too. And that is, Harry, the underlying basis of these executive orders are suspect. I've said it with sympathy to the cause of immigration reform. These executive orders, I don't believe, are constitutional, and most courts agree with us.
I believe that's absolutely correct. And I would also suggest that President Obama, when he issued this memorandum called DACA, he admitted that he lacked the power under the Constitution and under statutory rules. Notwithstanding that, we live in an era in which courts are prepared to convert executive memoranda into notice and comment rules, yep, which have the force of law under the Administrative Procedures Act. Notwithstanding the fact that there is quite a difference between notice and comment and an executive memorandum.
So listen to what President Obama said in February of 2013 about changing the law.
The problem is that, I'm the president of the United States. I'm not the emperor of the United States. My job is to execute laws that are passed.
And he's exactly correct. And that was the problem with these executive orders from the beginning. You cannot change the immigration laws in the United States by executive order, in my view, and in the view of most constitutional lawyers. All right, we're taking your calls, 800-684-3110, taking comments as well. Logan, what's next?
Yeah, let's go to Leslie, who's calling in Seattle. You're on the air.
Hi, Leslie. Go ahead.
Hi. Hey. I just think the arguments are flawed that you've been giving.
Okay.
I'm in favor of keeping families together. I'm also in favor of overseas education, and I think if these families were to be required to keep the law, to go home together, they would benefit by learning about their cultures of origin. The vast majority of DACA students are bilingual. They speak the language.
So are you advocating, you're willing to give up southern border security for, you'd rather not have the wall and the southern border security and not have DACA? Because that's what I'm trying to say here is that's the political reality. I'll go to Than on this in a moment, but that's the political reality of what's here.
I think that's a false question, Jay.
It isn't. It's the political reality of what exists, and what I'm trying to establish, and I appreciate you calling in, is that the reality is, and I, by the way, do not think you're going to self-deport 12 billion, million people and now 26-year-olds back to the country they don't know. I mean, I just don't think that's reality, but the political reality is clearly, and Leslie, again, I appreciate you calling in, but that's just not where the political realities are.
No, I think that, Leslie, everybody would like to, a lot of these conservatives would like to get the wall without having to do something else, but the votes aren't there. And the votes aren't there because you've got to get to 60 in the U.S. Senate and you've got to make compromise. So you will not. This is actually, if you are a proponent of real border security, it's the best chance you've had. Because they're going to seriously vet. 1.8 million is not a crazy number to vet seriously over a 10-year period. Okay, they've got to meet a lot of criteria to actually be able to be on this path. So how many will actually take advantage of it? I don't even know if it'll be 1.8 million. So I think, honestly, if you actually have ever wanted this wall, you needed something to trade with. And I mean, I think it sounds, I don't want to say trading with people, but trading with policy. Mm-hmm. This policy for that policy.
Yep.
And it's really putting the pressures on the Democrats right now. It's not, you heard from Than, the Republicans from pretty across the aisle are lining up to support this.
So Than, what is, okay, so let's give the political reality check to our audience as well. I think everybody needs to know what is at play across the street from where you are right now.
Well, first of all, a proposal for a wall without a DACA solution would get not a single Democrat in the United States Senate. And, Jay, I think it would get about 20 to 25 Republicans. So you would only be about 35 votes short of passing it.
I think you need to say that again for everybody. Folks, it's important for you to understand. We give you the analysis of what's actually at play here. Say it again. I think it's very important.
There's not a single Democrat in the United States Senate that would vote for a bill that authorized the wall and did not provide a DACA solution. And, Jay, I think there are only 20 to 25 Senate Republicans that would vote for that as well because they know the reality of this. So you're 35 votes short. That is a political reality you deal with. And I would say this. Jordan is absolutely correct about this being the best chance for border security. And regardless of how you feel about DACA, you can be in favor of a legislative solution, you can be opposed to it. But, Jay, there will be a giant magnet for increased illegal crossings unless you have real border security. You have to get that really regardless of how you feel about the second issue.
I'm going to play in the second half of the broadcast some of the president's statements from the State of the Union on this issue. But, Harry, let's look at you've looked at the legal issues, and let's look at the political reality, as Than, I think, just really laid out clearly. This is a solution. Nothing's ever perfect, but to me, this is a good solution.
Absolutely. So if we think about DACA from a historical perspective, DACA was simply used as a political wedge issue by leftists.
Right.
And now Republicans, along with Democrats, they have the possibility, let me put it this way, to craft a solution, a legal and a moral solution. In other words, there's a trade-off, border security plus DACA. We are not going to see millions of people self-deport. That's the reality that faces us on the ground. And I think we are simply fooling ourselves if we believe that 1.8 million individuals who've never lived elsewhere are simply going to walk across the southern border back to areas that they've never known. So I think it's ridiculous. Yeah. So the reality is we must come up with a solution, and that requires bipartisanship. It's clear that the Democrats have used immigration as a wedge issue for a very long time. So President Obama refused to legislate. Instead, he wanted to issue executive orders and keep immigration as a wedge issue.
Yeah, I think that's part of what happened here.
They cry false tears. They'd like to see this group deported. That's the Democrats. Truth. They want to see this group being deported and families ripped apart under President Trump leading into midterm elections. It's why they highlight any stories remotely related to that is they will cry their false tears, but they are cheering for what they think are political victories. It's sick, but it's because I think it was Bill Murray who said it actually yesterday. It's the way Democrats try to, I don't usually quote Bill Murray, the comedian, but he said the way that Democrats try to keep all of these groups, you know, it's never just about the American people. It's about this specific interest group, so Latinos and Hispanics. And then it's about the LGBT community. And it's about this community. It's never about the whole. And it's how they can then focus in on this group and say, oh, we're so sad, but it's the bad president who's done this to you. That's what they're hoping they get to sell. But how will they survive? How do they survive an ad that says they voted against DACA in Southern California?
We'll find that out in the next 30 minutes of the broadcast. And Logan's going to let you know how you get it.
That's right. You can find us on ACLJ.org, Facebook.com/JSeculo, and Twitter @JSeculo, broadcasting live on Periscope as well. All those outlets archived on the ACLJ app and the J Secular Live podcast. We'll be right back.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now aclj.org.
Music on radio by the best band. That's a Beatle tune done by the J. Secular Band, JSB as we call it, because we've got a lot of guys in that band that have the initials J&S, so it covers a whole host of talented musicians, which I get to join and have fun with. Do we have that as broken down? We'll play that during the break, and then if you like it, we'll play it at the end of the broadcast. Anyways, here's what we've got. There is a bill being introduced. We titled this, is the DACA deal dead? And I think the answer to that is no, but I want to go right to Washington, D.C. We are in favor, as we said, of a comprehensive reform, immigration reform, and a starting point is DACA and border security. Here's what the president said at the State of the Union, then I want to go to Than Bennett.
Under our plan, those who meet education and work requirements and show good moral character will be able to become full citizens of the United States over a 12-year period.
I think that's the answer, and you get the border security. So let me go to Fan to update everybody. A lot of people join us just for this half hour, coming into the program late. What does it look like right now, and where do you think this is by March 5th?
Well, the framework that the president laid out has been introduced in the United States Senate. It's the Secure and Succeed Act, sponsored by Senator Grassley and a number of others, Jay, that will get a vote sometime in the next few days. And we talked about this during the break, but Jordan said, can members of the Democrat members of the United States Senate survive a campaign ad that says they voted against DACA? Jay, I don't think they can. So I don't know if it'll pass in the next 2 days, but I'm with you. I bet it does by March 5th. And you know what? It's because not just senators like Senators Manchin and Heitkamp and Donnelly, the ones that we always talk about, but can a Senator Durbin or a Senator Schumer or a Senator Coons that represent the left wing of the Democrat Party, can they go back to the ballot box and say, we voted against citizenship, not just legal status like you were given under DACA. We voted against citizenship for all of you who have participated. I'm not sure they can do that, Jay.
Now, there you go. So, all right, let's go ahead. You want to take a call, Logan?
Sure. Let's go to Fair in Georgia on line 6. Fair, welcome.
Hi, Fair.
Hello.
Hey.
I have a question for you guys. Do you know, with the DACA bill that's trying to currently be passed, if anything has been added to extend the age cap?
No. What's been added, Farah, is that unlike President Obama, who wouldn't give these people citizenship, the president and President Trump and Senate Republicans and Senate and House Republicans are willing to give these individuals U.S. citizenship.
So
it's the same. It's based off the time period, so I'll go through it. You have to have obtained a high school diploma or equivalent if you're over the age of 18. You have to have arrived in the U.S. before you were 16 years old, prior to June 15, 2012, and you have to be under the age of 31 on June 15, 2012. So that would be about 37, about 37 years old. Same standards that were used. So no, it has not changed the standards. What will change is that instead of two-year renewals, you'll be put on a if you're
pathway.
Already in DACA, you get a two-year credit, so it's a 10-year pathway. If you haven't signed up yet, it's a 12-year pathway to citizenship. On that pathway, you have to maintain a job. You have to be in good character, which means no criminal activity, or you are thrown out of the program and thus deported.
Yeah, so Harry, I mean, you look at it. I mean, I think it makes perfect sense, and I think this is a good compromise. What is your consensus of where we – or what are your thoughts on looking at the law, because we've looked at these – court opinions and the executive action being problematic, isn't a permanent fix? I think a permanent fix is what's due now.
A permanent fix makes all of the sense in the world. On the other hand, there are activists out there who refuse to accept the Anglo-American tradition, which emphasizes the rule of law.
Well, there you go. All right, we're coming up on a break. We stopped Professor Hutchison midway through in a great bite. Well, great statement. We'll have that coming back from the break from you. All right. We're taking your calls and comments at 800-684-3110. Lots of comments coming in as well, Logan.
That's right. 1-800-684-3110. Comments are coming in. Garrett asked, are DACA citizens vetted?
There's a vetting process that they will go through, correct? They've got to meet more. It's pretty thorough. You only got 27 seconds.
Absolutely, but I mean, if you're 18 or older and you want to go through this, you have to have either served in the military, be pursuing a post-secondary, so a college degree or vocational degree, or maintaining a full-time job. That's just to get into the program.
All right. So does that answer that?
I think so. Hopefully that answers your question. Get comments like that in online, and we'll take some of those during the show and during the break. Exclusive video coming up right here in the break if you're watching online. We'll be right back.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal, complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
See it my way. We can work it out. Famous Beatleton. What a perfect time for that. Joining us in our studio, in our media center, is Colonel Wes Smith. And Colonel Smith, you were just looking at some statistics I think are important for people to understand why border security is important.
Yes, it's a matter of national security. Border security is national security to a large extent. It's not a small problem. I looked at the stats for last year from ICE and Immigration Naturalization Services. They average over 20,000 illegal immigrants attempting to cross the border per month on the southern border. A low of 11,000 and some change in 1 month, April, as high as 35,000 in 1 month this past fall. And for the beginning in 2014 through last year, the majority of people trying to cross the border illegally are no longer Mexicans. Now, while many of them are from Central and South America, the number from the Middle East and Africa is steadily rising.
All right, so here's what the president said about that number 23.
Crucially, our plan closes the terrible loopholes exploited by criminals and terrorists to enter our country, and it finally ends the horrible and dangerous practice of catch and release.
Which was a program, frankly, legally, I've never understood that one. Why would you take human resources, put our border security personnel in harm's way, catch somebody, and then let them go? I mean, I understand. It's just not. Then just don't do it in the first place. I mean, that would have been a better use of resources if that's all you were going to do. Anyways, let's go ahead and take some calls. 1-800-684-3110. Logan, who's next?
Let's go to Julie, right. Santa Monica, California.
Hey, Julie, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, Jay and Jordan and Logan. I always appreciate you guys. You're doing such good work.
Thanks.
My question is about the balance of powers.
Yep.
Right now, there's a lawsuit going on against building the wall and also now against DACA by district court judges.
Yep.
How is it that – could you comment
– Oh, we dropped her. I think she was calling via Skype or something like that, but she is off.
I think what she was saying, can you comment on how a judge could, well, look, here's what happens. You file a case in the district court. That's the first level of entry in the federal court system when you've got a constitutional challenge. It's filed at the district court. A judge can determine an act or a procedure or an executive order constitutional or not. Then it goes to the Court of Appeals. Then it goes to the Supreme Court of the United States. For instance, when we had the enhanced vetting, the president's executive order, remember, the lower courts consistently struck it down pretty much across the board. The courts of appeals struck it down. And then when it went up on an interim basis on an emergency stay, nine justices of the Supreme Court issued the stay. And I suspect you're going to get close to that when the case is reviewed on its merits, which we just filed briefs on right now. So that's why the court system is set up that way. And that's why that issue, that's why they develop. So I don't want to, this isn't an attack on the judiciary. Judges get to make decisions. That's the way our constitutional republic's set up. You have Article 1, legislative, Article 2, the power of the executive. Article 3 is the judiciary. And that's why we're a constitutional republic, not simply a democracy.
Now, when it comes to actually the legislation at issue here, though, the courts are not going to, you can always challenge legislation, but when it comes to immigration, this is clearly in the this is for Congress. I mean, it's in Article 1 of the Constitution. So the courts, look, I mean, they just don't really get involved. They kind of defer even when it looks like they shouldn't be. We saw that with Arizona just trying to enforce existing federal laws, and the Supreme Court said no because federal government has got to do that. You can't do it on your own. So if this passes, it's going to be much more difficult to challenge. Right now, all these challenges are because you've got executive orders and actions, yep, and not legislation. On the wall legal challenge, I think a lot of those were actually related to property and issues that, yep, will have to be worked out. I mean, those will have to be. That's why, yep, you got to get it done now, because it's going to take years to finish the construction because of all the different issues, and then get into different states and areas where you don't need a wall because you've got natural borders and things like that, and people, eminent domain issues as well, that will all come up. And so, yes, there is going to be a legal process when you're talking about building a wall thousands of miles long.
All right, let's do this. Let's go ahead and take some calls, 1-800-684-3110. We also have a poll that's up, which we had close to 900 or 850 participants. Want to see if we can get that to 1,000. We'll announce it at the end. Logan, what is next, or who is next?
Let's go to Jerry, who's calling in Rhode Island.
Hey, Jerry, go ahead.
Jay, in regards to the upcoming midterms, the, yep, DACA wall, and the March 5th deadline,
yep,
is it possible to identify the Democratic senators who facing the midterms that the callers can call in and said, hey, this is our opinion, build the DACA wall?
Build the DACA wall. That's what you're going to call it. That's the trade. Fan, I mean, I guess we don't know the lay of the land yet enough, but you tell me where you see it's going with the.
Well, I'd say two things. One, first of all, every single Democrat could go down to the floor and present their own proposal. So I don't think you should necessarily limit to those who are up for reelection. But let me give you six names on the Democratic side that I think are key to this. Senators Durbin, Schumer, and Coons on sort of the left wing of this debate. And then on the right wing of their caucus's debate, Senators Manchin, Heitkamp, and Donnelly. Jay, I think if you could get movement on either one of those groups of three, I think you would get to 60.
All right, so let's say, folks, this is why we give you this information. That's why we come to you every day live for an hour. All right, let's go ahead and give those names again, Ben. I think it's really important.
So on sort of the left wing of the debate in the Democratic caucus, Senators Durbin, Schumer, and Coons. Of course, Durbin and Schumer are in the leadership as well. And then on the right flank of their party, Senators Manchin, Heitkamp, and Donnelly. If either one of those sections would move, Jay, I think you'd get to 60.
So, Jordan, what gets them to move?
It gets them to move as their constituents. So I think, as Stan said, like for Manchin, Heitkamp, and Donnelly, it's their constituents want the wall. So and then they could do something to make sure that they don't lose their Democratic primaries and things like that by getting DACA. For those three, so if you could move those three, so you got two shots at this, what Dana's saying. You could go the more moderate route of the Democrats, though so far, I will be honest, I think Dan will be too, these so-called moderate Democrats haven't shown a lot of backbone to do this before.
Right.
So let's go to the left then. What, you know, Durbin, Schumer, Coons. They need DACA. Even though it may be a political win for Trump, they are going, it's going to be disastrous. Because these are not Coons, but because of Durbin and Schumer being in top leadership of the Democrat Party, mm-hmm, and they think they're going to take back the U.S. Senate, they got a shot at DACA, and they give that up under a Trump presidency, then they are in real trouble amongst Democrat voters. How do you get the base excited? And, you know, they love dividing everybody up. Like Bill Murray said, how do you get the Latino and Hispanic voters excited if you made sure this didn't happen?
Yeah, so I've never thought we'd be coding a Ghostbuster.
You made a good point.
Logan,
he was on CNBC.
What did he say exactly?
It's on Squawk Box. I will define the exact quotes. I don't
have
them
in front of me.
Clash of Clans, that the Democrats wake up every day and create a clash of clans in America.
So, Wes, you were looking at the statistics, though, and I think it's important as we're giving this kind of factual information, and that's what we want you to have facts, again, to go over that, because I think people need to understand what's coming in through the southern border. It's not just illegal Mexican immigration coming in, which is an issue, but is not the only, not anywhere near the top of the issue, frankly.
Right, yeah. The Mexicans are no longer the majority crossing that porous southern border. The last year—
I also want to say something. I didn't mean to interrupt you here, but I want to understand, tell my conservative friends this. You know, if you take 12 million people that by nature tend to be politically conservative, families conservative, pro-life, and you figure out how to work the situation out politically, I'm just talking about plain old politics, I think that bodes well. I'll just leave it at that, but go ahead, Will.
Yeah, well, you know, last year, ICE, they have a classification when they apprehend people at the border. And again, Jay, keep in mind, these are the ones we are apprehending. These are not the ones that are getting through. But they had 6,324 what they call special interest aliens last year. By special interest, what ICE means, they are from the Middle East. 6,324. An example of this from the
and
last...
they're called what? Special interest?
Special interest aliens. They're no longer from Central and South America or Mexico. And... for example, an example of the national security implications of this debate, and I don't think it can be over-exaggerated. In November, for example, five Syrian nationals this past November were caught trying to enter the border, discovered they were part of a larger cell of Syrians who had gone to Brazil, gotten fake passports, and traveled by land to the southern border at Texas.
So this is, understand when we talk about border security, we need border security here. And I think, Harry, that at the end of the day is why this is a fair political negotiated deal in our view.
Absolutely. And to emphasize what Wesley has just pointed out, the Venezuelan government has issued fraudulent visas to Middle Easterners so that they can come into the United States from Venezuela under a Venezuelan visa.
So, fraudulent but not false. They're real visas.
They are real visas.
Used for a fraudulent purpose.
And so we really need to emphasize national security through border security.
Let's not forget, we did a number of shows focusing on Hezbollah's and that investigation that was shut down by the Obama administration to Hezbollah's money laundering operations, and it was all about the southern border. And, you know, in court, it was leading in the way into court to show exactly what Wes is doing, where we have statistics, to show that this porous border is leading to the drug crisis, but it's also a porous border for groups like Hezbollah. And I will say this because I think it's fair. The reason why the Syrians can get into Venezuela and Brazil and get passports is because if you don't look really close, or even a language issue, they blend in.
Yeah.
You can blend into those societies and quickly pass through and then come under those frauds. So we've got major issues. We could put a stop to one of them if we get a compromise bill here and build this wall.
All right, Logan. Last segment coming up.
Last segment, we take all the calls we can. We only have one line open right now, but that may open up. 1-800-684-3110. You can also get your comments in. 1-800-684-3110. Have your voice heard on the air. You can also get your comments in on social media. We'll take some of those as well. Always support the work at ACLJ.org.
There you go.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. It is the last segment, which means we try to answer as many questions as we can in the 8 minutes and 41 seconds we have. All right, go ahead, Logan. What do we have first?
All right.
Who do we have first?
Kay's calling in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. You're on the air on the
line. Kay, go ahead.
Hello?
Yep.
Okay. Say someone has come on a visa or a green card and overstayed. But has a good, you know, has a decent job and everything, really wants to become a citizen.
Yeah.
But is afraid of being deported if he tries to start something.
Yeah.
You know, what happens there? Is there any?
I don't think this will go to Jordan and Fan, but I don't think it's addressed in this bill.
No, and DACA, you had to take.
That's part of a comprehensive immigration
reform. You had to take advantage and there's a 2-year window where you've got to meet a criteria. And one of those criteria is that you came in as a minor. And a specific age, so it's 16 years old or under, so before you turn 16. So that would probably not apply to most of those folks because they used visas, they overstayed. That does not include people that did that. But it gets to that other issue that we're talking about, Kay. If you want to address that problem for people who are kind of stuck in the shadows of America and don't know what to do,
and
you're not going to really be able to deport all of them, is that you must get through hurdle number one, which should be an easy test. Building a wall so that you don't have so many people like that, and you can figure out then also more security like visa overstayers, you can focus in on them. And then for the wall, getting DACA. And then I think you can have a real immigration debate because border security has been handled. And that's been the real problem, is no immigration debate has been allowed, and I agree with it, because border security hasn't come first.
Yep.
If you put border security at the same time as 1.8 million, and we see that wall being built, then you could at the same time open up the negotiations on actual immigration reform. We all agree it needs to be reformed comprehensively, regardless of what side of the aisle you're on.
Fan, what's your sense of that?
There's only one way to create a political environment where visa overstays can be addressed legislatively, and that is to convince the American people, not just the senators, the American people that the border has been secured. It's the only way, Jay.
Okay. All right. Let's keep going.
All right. Let's go to Michael in Naples, Florida. You're
on the air. Hey, Michael, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
You're good.
Hey, Jay, first of all, I always appreciate your insight and everything, and I'm glad you're on President Trump's team, and I pray for you and President Trump every day.
Thanks.
As far as this whole thing goes with the border security and the wall, I definitely believe. I mean, we've got to do the funding for the wall first and border security before there's any discussion on DACA.
Well, I think it should be part of one comprehensive, because politically it's not going to, I appreciate you calling in, Michael, it's not going to happen unless you have both in there. I mean, Harry, looking at the political realities, it just without them both in there, it doesn't get through that Senate.
Absolutely. And so unless we address both of these issues, immigration will simply remain a political football, a political wedge issue. So the only way to solve the problem is to deal with both of these issues, border security and immigration reform, simultaneously.
I agree. Wes, what's your thought on that?
It's illogical to want to take care of the people in DACA, and I think they should be taken care of. It is illogical to do that and yet not fix the stream of thousands and thousands and thousands of people coming across the border illegally.
Yep. I think this
makes no sense.
No, I think this is the chance for comprehensive immigration reform, but this is step one.
You got to get this done, and we want that border secured. Wes laid out the reasons why just based on the statistics. That should be the answer right there. Who's going to say, oh, it's okay that our people are coming in here that are joining terrorist cell groups? I mean, no one is going to say that's good. And if the wall puts up, and that whether it's the physical wall or more technology in some areas, that all helps our security. I think that's a good thing. Let's go right back to the phones, trying to get as many of these as we can in 4 minutes.
It's Casey or Cassie in Madison, Alabama. You're on the air.
I don't even know where is Madison, Alabama, Casey or Cassie?
Right next door to Huntsville, Alabama. Yeah, right.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Okay, very good. All right, you're on the air.
Yes. Jay, I am an immigrant.
Okay, great.
I immigrated to the United States in 1976, marrying to my husband who was serving in the United States Army.
Great.
In my personal view, the America has left the borders wide open to our enemies for too long.
Yep.
And that made our country to become very vulnerable to our enemies. And
yeah.
I say, secure the borders, protect Americans first, and let the process work by having people who want to come to the United States file the paperwork.
Cassie, I understand everything you say. I don't disagree with anything. I'm looking at the political realities and how do you deal with the situation. And if I could get southern border security in place and at the same time handle the DACA issue, that is a win-win for the American people, in my view. It's a win-win for our tax system, for our economy, and for those people that were brought here with no fault of their own. And it takes that chip off the negotiating table so that you can actually then explore how to solve what is a much bigger problem, which is you've got 12 to 15, maybe 18 million people here illegally. What are you going to do with that? So let's do this in a pragmatic way, and that includes incremental decisions being made. And this would be a good— three presidents have tried to do this. They've not been able to do it. This president may well be able to do it. I know the left doesn't want it to happen. But, I mean, I don't even know if you put up a DACA bill straight if they would sign for it. I mean, I wonder. They want it so badly on the table.
I think if it was straight, they would, because they wouldn't have to compromise at all, and they'd say, ha ha, see what we can get.
But our politics is compromised.
But that's not how politics works.
Right.
And not when the Republican majority in the House, the Senate, and a Republican president. There's
no
way.
Ben just brought up a point, though, Thad. You said they did not offer it.
President Trump can veto that. And the Democrats, so let's say they did that. They don't have a president who's going to let this go. He's said, you know, DACA's got to come with something or else no deal.
So then what, has any Democrat come forward and say, hey, we just want DACA, here's the plain bill?
We don't have to ask in a hypothetical. It's been open since Monday night on the Senate floor. Not a single Democrat has come down and offered it and asked for a vote.
Because they know
they
it doesn't
ask for
work
a vote,
politically.
They could get a vote.
Right. All right. Let's keep going.
All right. Let's go to Melanie in Texas. You're on the air.
Hey, Melanie. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. Yep. So my question is, what happens to the DACA people who are criminals or who have not shown good moral character? What happens to them?
They do not meet the criteria of admission. And they're not susceptible, not allowed to be in the program. And they would be, I guess, deported to their country of origin. I don't think there'll be a catch-all provision there, from what I understand.
Yeah, and I think that, again,
if they don't meet the standards,
they're just going to be part of that group that we're already always talking about.
Yeah.
They're not going to necessarily all be deported at one time.
No, it depends. No. I mean, if it's illegal conduct that's insignificant or what it might be, there may be.
If they're caught.
But this solves a distinct group's legal issue. And that's what we're doing.
All right, let's go to Nancy in Indianapolis. You're on the air.
All right, Nancy.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air.
I appreciate you guys.
Yep.
Yes, I appreciate you guys. My question is about this border wall.
Yep.
We have it built. What's to stop the next president, the liberals, from just opening that door and ignoring? Is there laws that we can enact?
Well, the president of the United States has broad discretion under the Constitution as it relates, Harry, to immigration. Yes, they could change the policy. That means elections have consequences.
Absolutely. So it's important to recognize, though, that if we pass a bill, if we enact a new statutory authority for the president, then the president, after the next one, can reinstitute the completion of the wall. So I think it's very, very important to pass border security as part of comprehensive immigration.
So I guess you figured out we're in favor of the DACA border security fix. That's the position of the ACLJ.
If you get the wall built, though, let me tell you, it's not coming down.
No,
I mean, it's not, because it's going to be it's going to make areas that have not been safe in the country safe again.
Yep.
Boom to the southwest. And I think it's going to be good for even in blue states, and they know that. So, but try and elect presidents who are not going to take those positions. That's up to the American people.
All right, by the way, we'll talk more about it as it develops. Logan, let everybody know how they can stay engaged in 13 seconds.
ACLJ.org, you can find everything you need there. Make sure you're following us and liking us on all social media outlets. We'll be back tomorrow.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.